The message title is Winning the War Within. And as I was planning this, it just got to page 10 and page 11 and page 12. So I'm making this into part two. There's part two next week. But the passage that God placed in my heart as I was preparing this sermon was Matthew 13, verse 19. Matthew 13, verse 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Okay? And God's people said, this is the parable of the sower. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and it represents God doing work in our heart. Giving revelation, truth, and he's doing his work in our heart, right? And some of the seeds scatter along the path, and this is what I want to focus on. The seed that will scatter along the path is a person who will go through spiritual attack, okay? Because this passage, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown. Okay, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown. And what's interesting in this passage, the spiritual battle happens within, in the heart. What was sown in the heart. And we need to understand, especially nowadays, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it talks about the later days, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, clearly says, okay, this is very clear, that in the later time, and I believe this is the time, later time, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirit and things taught by demons, okay? Now, the people of this world, you know, when they think about battle, they just fight each other. Okay? And there are many different reasons we fight one another. It could be because you live in different regions, okay? And the people in the world, it could be because of money. It could be based on color of the skin, because you're from a different people group, because you have different religion, because you have different, you are in a different political party, and even because, especially nowadays, you have different ideology. Okay? You have different ideology. But we're not people of the world. Okay? We're disciples of Jesus Christ. Say that to your neighbor. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so we are not to fight one another. Okay? We're not supposed to be like, we're not to be like the world. We're called to fight the spiritual battle. Okay? This is what we're called to do as disciples of Jesus, to fight the spiritual battle, not with people, but fight and overcome spiritual darkness. Okay? You see, the demonic, there's a spiritual realm. The demonic spirit hates Christians. The spiritual darkness wants to deceive us with lies. Spiritual darkness that, you know, we need to battle the spiritual darkness that comes to steal, destroy, and kill. Right? And so 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, we fix our eyes, okay, not on what is seen. Okay, this is one of the revelation truth we have to understand about spiritual warfare. It's not battling what you could see. A lot of the battle happens within what you cannot see. A lot of us go through spiritual battle every day. You know what? Because there's imagination that goes wild in our head, in our thoughts. Speculation, argument that happens and is unseen. It's not seen. It's happened. The spiritual battle happens within. It is internal. It happens in our mind. It attacks our emotion. It is in the territory of our heart. The spiritual battle that, and it happens every day. It happens every day. And So, you know, again, in Catalyst, I want us to, you know, when I see people saying spiritual battle and people are coughing and throwing up and speaking in different demonic voice, to me, that's not real spiritual battle. Real spiritual battle is not when you go to this conference in Africa. It happens in, a lot in Africa when I was in church there, where people are throwing up and they're speaking in demonic voice. Okay? That's not what's when it happens. It's happening right now in your mind. It's happening tomorrow. It happens every day, okay? Inside of us. Spiritual battles within. Okay? It happens within. And Matthew chapter 13, verse 19 gives us this, it shows us, it tells us that spiritual battle for Christian happens when God works in you. Okay? When God, it's not when we feel strong only, or when we are happy, or when it's when the seed of God is sown in your heart, the devil comes. Okay? Not before the seed is planted in your heart, but after the seed is planted in your heart. See, there's going to be a spiritual battle when you're hearing this sermon. Okay? When you hear truth. Okay? And when you, you know, when God is moving in your life, the devil will come. When God is trying to change you, when God is trying to heal you, when God is setting you free. See why? Spiritual battle is when the devil doesn't want truth, doesn't want life transformation, doesn't want to see church raising up disciples, and he doesn't want revival. And the devil will throw everything in your path to stop God's movement in your life. See, when you want to love more, you're going to face spiritual battle. Okay? You want to live a life of faith. You want to be set free. You want to get closer to God. You want to be healed. You want to change. You want to walk out the purpose and destiny that God has for you. When you have that desire is good. But I need to remind you, as a disciple of Jesus, you're going to go through a spiritual battle. You're going to go through a spiritual battle. My challenge to you, don't let the devil win. Okay, say that to your neighbor, don't let the devil win. What we have to do as a Christian, because when we learn how to, when we fight this spiritual battle, we learn how to stand, we learn how to resist, we learn how to fight, we know how to push through, we learn how to overcome. Right? We learn how to overcome. When you overcome within, you overcome in life. Right? Did you hear that? When you overcome within, you overcome in life. Think about Joseph in the book of Genesis. Okay? His brothers beat him up, throw him in a ditch, and sold him as a slave. That's a lot to overcome. Okay? That is a lot to overcome there. Okay? But then, not just that, Joseph had to overcome being a slave in Potiphar's house. Okay? And then he was falsely accused. He had to overcome that. And then he had to overcome being put in prison. And then in prison, he had to overcome being forgotten. Being forgotten. But he overcame those things. And this prepared Joseph to save many millions of people from different nations, from starvation, because there was a severe famine in the land. This gave him the heart to forgive his brothers who sold him to slavery. This prepared Joseph to save his family. And because Joseph saved his family, the line, the genealogy of Jesus continued, and which brought salvation to the world. Joseph overcame a lot because he overcame a lot, God was able to use him very powerfully and tremendously. If you can't overcome, God can't use you. So when you overcome the battle that you're facing right now within, God is preparing you right now to overcome life, overcome the things that's going on outside of you. God's people said. But we see another example, God's people that came out of Egypt. For them to come, you see, the reason they had to spend some time in the wilderness is because there was enemies that was attacking them in the wilderness, and they need to learn how to overcome those enemies to overcome the enemies, stronger enemies, in the promised land. Okay, in the promised land. Those giants in the promised land. There was stronghold in the promised land. See, they needed to overcome the enemy in the wilderness. And I believe the wilderness represents the battle that's within. Okay? The battle that's within. But when they came out into the wilderness, okay, in the wilderness, what do? They complained, they grumbled, they rebelled. They became fearful. They were hopeless. They fought and argued with one another. In the wilderness, they set up an idol, a golden calf in the wilderness. And in Numbers 25, you know what else? The Moabites, their enemy, seduced Israel. Seduced Israel. Huh? But real transformation, okay, happens in the wilderness. And when we know how to overcome the battle within. Okay? Real transformation happens there. Rick Warren says, we rarely change until our pain exceeds our fear of change. We don't change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. And I found that statement to be true in my life. Huh? I find that statement to be true. You know, nobody wants to hear this. You don't want to hear it. I don't want to say it. I don't want to, because somebody told me that. I don't want to hear it either. But I found this to be true. Breakthrough, transformation, change. The vision of this church, breaking boundaries. Okay, breaking boundaries happens in the wilderness. It happens in the wilderness. And this is the passage God gave me for my personal wilderness. This passage to hold on to in the wilderness. Turn to Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Okay? Jeremiah 29, verse 11. This is God speaking to me. This is God speaking to you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Okay? In your personal wilderness, I want us to believe this together, this passage. God in his sovereignty allows or has put the wilderness in our life not to confuse you, not to hurt you, not to crush you, not to condemn you. Jeremiah 29 says, it is to prepare us for his purpose. It is not to tempt us. It is not to depress us. It is not to make us angry and bitter or to confuse us. But plans to prosper you. It's a plan to prosper me. And not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. In this dark time, you know what God is doing right now in our wilderness? He wants to give us a future. Huh? He wants to give us a future. Our human tendency in the wilderness is to run away from it, medicate it, find a distraction, find somebody to blame. Right? That's our human tendency. But this is something that, you know, I've been talking to different pastors, and some of the churches in the area, they're going through, they're, they, they've been doing what they call soul care. And what soul care is, inner healing, you know. And in our church, inner healing is important ministry here. And as I'm hearing different pastors, what they're talking about, this convicted me to talk about this. Inner healing ministry, I don't think there's anybody in this church that's been doing it longer than I have. Inner healing ministry, I say, you know, it's been a long time. Yeah, and I read many books. I went to many conferences. I did many, you know, counseling and worked with many different people. With many different kind of brokenness, and we need to, yes, we all need to be healed from our pain, our hurt, our rejection, the abuse, and this is the good news: God heals, God redeems, God loves, and God restores. Amen. Right? But the mistake that people make. We could fall into this trap with inner healing or soul care. They don't walk out the healing. Okay? They don't walk out the healing. Instead, they stay in the pain, the hurt, the rejection, and the abuse. They don't move forward in transformation, the healing, and freedom. And as I talk to other pastors, this is what they're seeing happening in their church. And one reason, one important reason I saw, why? And that, there's one important reason that I want to talk about today. One important reason is, even though they are going through inner healing, they hold on to the offense. Okay? They hold on to the offense. They like sharing and they're venting the hurt and pain, but they choose to hold on to the offense. They share their pain, they vent their pain, and this is very important. They are vulnerable to the pain, the rejection, the shame, and this is so important. Right? This is so important. But they don't release the offense. They hold on to the offense. They don't forgive. They stay in bitterness, the resentment, and judgment. So inner healing or soul care, you know, this is an important step. You identify the pain, the hurt, the rejection, the abuse. You identify the brokenness, and it is such an important process in the healing where, because the enemy uses that shame to just keep it all inside, okay? The shame to keep it all inside. Well, you're not going to get healed when you do that. So in the beginning of healing is you got to be vulnerable, okay? You got to be honest. You got to be real. You got to trust somebody and share this with somebody. Okay? But that's not the end. Okay? Did you hear that? It's not the end. You're supposed to also, in the process, when you walk out the healing, release the pain. Stop judging. Forgive the offender. You gotta forgive the offender. You got to walk out the healing. You got to move forward. But what happens to some, and this is what the pastor says, they keep going back to the pain again and again. And they keep going back over and over and over again. And that's like the people of God in the wilderness. What do? They keep wanting to go back to Egypt, to their bondage. And when they saw the promised land, they go, no, I don't want to go there. But I want to go back to Egypt. They didn't want to move forward. See, the wilderness is the battle within. And one of the biggest battle in the wilderness will be battle with offense. Okay? The offense. There's a desire to be bitter. There's a desire to blame. There's this desire not to forgive. Okay? is a battle with offense. You know, and yes, you know, when you think about God, you know, with God's people in the book of Exodus, you see God did the initial work of healing and freedom. God delivered his people from Egypt. And Jesus did his work on the cross, the initial work. And in the wilderness, okay, we could make different choices. Like the people of Israel, they made two bad choices. What did they do? Number one, they wanted to go back to Egypt, keep going back to the bondage, the bitterness, the resentment, and wanted to hold on to the offense. That's what they're saying when they want to go back to Egypt. Or stay in the wilderness. And what does it mean to stay in the wilderness? They just complain and grumble. Life is not fair. Where is God? You know, nobody here knows how to love. They decide to stay in the wilderness. But Catalyst, you're different. Okay? You're not God's people in the book of Exodus. Okay? We are a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. We will move forward. Okay? We're going to get out of the wilderness. Right? We're going to step into the promised land. Right? And so let's say to your neighbor, let's get out of the wilderness together. Right? Let's get out of the wilderness of offense. When it comes to being in the wilderness of offense, it's not just again, when I first went through inner healing in the 90s, you know, or late 90s. Oh, you know, because so much shame, so much brokenness, you know, so much dysfunction that I came from. And I just, you know, covered it up with ministry. There was so much, you know. And when I went into inner healing, it was the first time I learned how to be vulnerable. Right? And it was powerful, right, that I became real. Right? And instead of being driven by guilt and shame, I was driven by the acceptance and the love of God. That's why I was able to share, you know. And it was very powerful. But there was also bitterness and lot of resentment toward my dad, you know. There was like a big hole in my heart because of my dad, because of my mom, because of other people that hurt me. You know, going from childhood brokenness. When I first let down the wall, that was the beginning of inner healing. But you know what was really hard about inner healing? Letting go of the offense. Okay. That part, is spiritual battle. There's a lot of spiritual battle that you will go through. Right? It's easy. That was the most difficult part of inner healing. Letting go of the offense. You know, because the imagination that will come in my mind, you know, the accusation, the bitterness, you know, the injustice of it all would come up. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says this: see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Now it says, make sure, you know, that no bitter root grows up. You know, there's no, like, this weed that grows in your heart, bitter root. What is bitter root? Very simple. Bitter root is the offense that we hold on to. Okay? It's the offense that we hold on to. The offense that we hold on to, the Bible says, causes trouble and defile many. When this passage used the word defile, Okay? God does not defile. There's only one that defile, and that's the devil. When this uses the word defile, it's saying this is the work of the devil. When you hold on to offense, you will go through spiritual battle. Okay? And you're going to have to learn how to fight this spiritual battle. It doesn't just happen. Overcoming offense, you got to learn how to put on the full armor. Okay? It's not just, bringing down the wall, the being vulnerable. It's like me going to the hospital. Okay? I was so broken. I needed to be stitched up and bandaged. But you got to understand, as a Christian, we're not called to stay in the hospital forever. Right? We stay in the hospital, but we got to understand there's a battle going around all over the world. There's a spiritual battle. So we go to the hospital, but we got to get healed. As we go through the healing, we learn to put on the full armor, and we learn how to use the sword. We put up the helmet. Right? We know how to fight the spiritual battle. And what I'm saying, spiritual battle happens with the battle with offense, with bitterness, resentment, and a desire not to forgive. That's a spiritual battle. That's a spiritual battle. You could be going through inner healing for many years, but if you hold on to the offense for many years, you will lose the war within. Okay? You will lose the war, the battle within. You know, what would happen is, point number one, hurt people. Okay? I said this many times. When you hold on to the offense, even though you're going through inner healing, you start to hurt other people around you. When you hold on to the offense, you take it out on the person that's closest to you first. You start hurting important, closest relationship. You could have got hurt many years ago. And you understand in the healing, but you didn't let go of the offense. When you don't let go of the offense, the devil will come and steal the seed. Will steal the seed. But he doesn't want to stop there. Then you'll start losing the spiritual battle of your heart. And you start to hurt the people around you. Okay? And innocent people. And people who even tries to help you. That's what I did not understand what was going on. There will be people. Yeah, we go through inner healing with them, and I'm trying to help them, I'm praying for them, I'm trying to love them, and they reject, they get so mad at you. They get so mad at you. And what I realize is it's not because they're evil or bad people. They're losing the spiritual battle. They're losing the spiritual battle. When we are single, how many singles here? Raise your hand. Okay, two, three. What I realized when I was single, I got really good at it. I learned how to hide my shame. I learned how to hide my brokenness. I knew how to cover it up. But singles, when you get married, it's very difficult to run away from it, cover it. Married couple, amen? It will leak out. That offense that you hold on to, the bitterness and resentment. Singles, this is not true. When I get married, somehow I'll transform. No. You got to deal with the offense that you have, the bitterness. If you don't, you're going to take it out on your spouse. you will. Okay? Yeah. Not that it's happening here. Yeah. You will take it out on your spouse. And but you know, when as you get married, then what happens? You have a child. And when you have a child, it's God's way saying, okay, now we have to deal with your brokenness. You know, that all that offense that you're carrying. We got to deal with it, okay? But this is what really helped me with inner healing, walking it out, finally. You know, really woke me up to walk it out when Anna was born. And it hit me. I don't want this to go to Anna. I don't want this to go to the next generation and the next generation. Right? If you don't start the process of that healing from past brokenness and bitterness, and again, inner healing is not just sharing, being vulnerable. Okay? You got to fight the spiritual battle of offense that you've been carrying, the bitterness, the resentment. If you don't, okay, you could go through inner healing, but you didn't do that. It's going to come out on your child. It will come out on your child. Okay? Hurt people, hurt people. The other thing that happens, okay, you could go through inner healing, but not work through the offense, the judgment grows. Okay? In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about this person with a log in the eye. Okay? And something about offense that we carry, you know, physically, if there is a sand that goes in your eye, you would all go wash it out, okay? You would all go wash it out. And, there's a sand, a little dust, a speck in my eye. You will wash it out. Something about offense, you don't wash it out. You let it grow. You let it grow. Until it becomes ridiculous, it becomes a log in your eye. It becomes a log in your eye. And that's why if you hold offense, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness toward your father, what happens if it grows, you hate all men. You have an offense that you hold on to because of your mom. You don't trust all women eventually. It becomes a log. There's a church leader you didn't forgive, or a leader, authority figure. You don't trust any leader. It grows until it becomes a log in your eye. Another thing that happens is you resemble what you resent. That's why every time with my mom, you know, there's, now I need to do this because, you know, there will be something that will blow up at right now, at the present state. I get on my knees afterwards. I forgive her. I need to forgive her. I need to forgive her. Why? You see, you have a resentment toward your mom. You know what's going to happen? You will become like your mom. Okay? You have a resentment toward your dad. You'll become like your dad. You have a resentment toward a leader, you'll become like that leader. It's funny, when I was in my 20s, and I grew up in a Korean church, and in the Korean church, they have what they say, the first generation and the second generation in the Korean church. First generation are the Korean-speaking, older generation in America in the Korean church, and the second generation, they can't speak Korean that well, so they speak English. They're the younger generation in the Korean church. And so in my 20s, I went into ministry. I had a lot of relationship with the second generation pastors, English-speaking pastor, younger. They're like in their 20s, right? And they would just complain all the time about the first generation pastors. They're so legalistic, right? They're so hierarchical. They're so controlling, right? That's what they always complain about. Now, those pastors, some of those pastors in my 20s, they're 50s now. Guess what? They're legalistic. They're controlling. Their church is hierarchical. What they See, it wasn't complaining. It was resentment and hurt that they carried as a pastor. Even though they were in ministry. They were in ministry, but they carried it. All right? They thought doing ministry is going to help. No, you got to release your resentment, defense. And it carried over, and they became like they resemble what they resent. And what's so funny, I know some marriage counselors, you know, they went to the schools, they went to the courses, they minister and counsel, you know, many couples. And Heejong and I, in our early marriage, because of the conflict in our marriage, we went to a marriage counselor, you know, and I remember all the things they taught me. You know what? A year later, that marriage counselor got divorced. It was a husband and a wife team. And so what I saw was that, wow, they had all this ish. They tell us what to do, what we needed to do, and how it could be more, you know, loving toward each other and stuff like that. And they went home and they fought. They didn't work on the fence that they had. But they thought because we're helping other people, it makes it okay. What I'm realizing more and more, it's not okay. It's not okay. Yeah. You know, I found this to be true. And Heejong and I, we ministered to many broken people, abused, went through. There's trauma, there's rejection, there's bondage, there's shame. Those who choose to move forward, you know, yes, you know, they're open, they're vulnerable, they identify the pain, but there's the other side to the inner healing, right? They focus on overcoming, and they spend time overcoming the bitterness. The resentment, the offense that it keeps coming and coming and coming. And they are committed to overcoming the offense. You know what I saw? God setting them free. God healing them. God redeeming them. God transforming them. But there are those, yeah, they could have read 10 books on soul care. Went through inner healing session after session after session. They went to conferences. They might even teach it, you know. And this is where God's convicting me because I teach it all the time. I do. I teach it all the time. But I still have resentment, offense that I'm carrying. And what God's convicting me, okay. I'd rather that you stop teaching and work on this. Yeah. But they hold on to the offense. You know what I see? No healing. No transformation. Inner healing ministry, soul care ministry is not so that you stay in your pain. Yes, it is important to identify your pain, but not so your pain becomes your identity. Right? Healing happens when you move forward, when you walk out the healing. Those who stay in brokenness are those who hold on to the offense. Right? They hold on to the offense. See, when you open up, when you become vulnerable and you say, I'm going to trust again, and you share, okay, and that's good. You're identifying the pain, but at the same time, the offense will come to the surface. Okay? The offense will come to the surface. And you could, when it comes, you could say, you could leave the church. I saw that happen in our church. You could change small group because of that. You could get mad at Pastor Sam. He could do that. All right? Or make a commitment. This is going to be hard, but I'm going to overcome this resentment that's coming to the surface. I'm going to overcome it. Walk out the healing. Those who stay in brokenness, those who hold on to the offense over time, and this is where I don't want to be. This is scary to me. Over time, you have the language of inner healing. You have the language of soul care, but there's no true healing. Okay? There's no true healing. It becomes, over time, it just becomes a venting session without healing. Right? It's just venting without healing. So the call, because again, our church, inner healing, soul care ministry is so important here. Right? Some of you need to break down the wall, okay? The shame. You need to be vulnerable. But many of you, we need to move forward. Okay? We need to move forward. And that's, this is what I want to talk about next week. Okay, next week, part two. Choosing to let go of the offense, and over the years, I taught this over and over again, it's about stop judging the offender and give them to God, forgive the offender and walk out the process of forgiveness. That's why Jesus said, forgive 77 times 7. It's about learning how to be in a community, okay? Be in a community. What I learned is if you hold on to the offense, you can't be in a community. You don't know how to be in a community. The way we see that there's healing, okay, even though it's coming up, coming out, you stay in the community and you work it out together. It's fighting the imagination, the speculation, the argument, that spiritual battle in your mind that you're going to have to overcome the offense. It's moving in the opposite spirit, opposite direction of the lies. And this is some of the stuff that I'm preparing right now for next week that I want to talk about next week. And when we do that, through the power of the Holy Spirit, there's transformation. And God's people said, okay, let's pray.